Welcome to another edition of Shooting the Shit with Smitty. Might be the only edition, because this is brought to you by the same people who gave you Swipe Drunk Love, Nate and Knight, and the famous Barstool Fantasy Power Half Hour. And I'm joined with the former guest of that great podcast before it was cucked by some famous fuck who decided to come in and do his own damn thing, Jonathan Bales of Fantasy Labs, right? Or, excuse me, he was the co-creator and founder of Fantasy Labs and the CEO, but now he is just a mere employee because Jonathan Bales is now part of Uncle Peter's Cracker Factory Fun Ranch. Am I right?
Yeah, I think so. This is my first day as an employee of Churning Group and first day as an employee of anyone ever in life. So it's gone pretty well so far.
Beside yourself and various relationships.
First time working for someone else, I guess. Well, sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, first real job.
Well, welcome to the bitch life. I'm proud of you. we're going to get into a lot of stuff because, honestly, for people that don't know, Bales and I have had a somewhat of a relationship in the past. We've known each other for years. We've been friends, colleagues, business associates, lovers, some might say. I'll take that distinction if it domestic partnerships in play right now, because I want half of that fucking gold mine you just landed on. But we'll get into a lot of that because honestly, and this is speaking from an outsider's perspective, Bales is one of the most interesting people you could possibly meet. His life story up until this point, where he was, I'm not going to call you a bum, but I'll kind of call you a bum, to selling I'm just going to assume it's multi-millions, but once you tell us, you'll confirm it, company to the Sherman Corporation and becoming a part of this wide family. It's a very, very interesting piece of work, as well as Bales himself. He's very, I don't think it's that far of a stretch to call you a savant of some sort. Like, you're one of the most intelligent people. I'm dead serious. You're one of the most intelligent people that I know. You're very analytical about a lot of stuff, but especially when it comes to numbers, daily fantasy, and unfortunately, Justin Hunter, you are like next level on certain things. But we will get into all of that. But I guess it starts from the beginning. Like, when did you really become interested in fantasy sports?
Well, first of all, isn't it great to be back on the podcast, me and you, buddy?
It's not foreign territory between us. I remember when we started the Fantasy Power Hour, Half Hour. God, first of all, it was called a different name every week. It was like the Barstool Fantasy Draft Show, then it was just Fantasy Life, and then it was a whole bunch of other happy horse shit. But yeah, we started it 3 years ago, excuse me, 4 years ago, because it lasted for 3 years up until this year. And it was just us shooting the shit on Skype, giving out good picks. And
I know.
People miss
it.
And
here we are. Your quality has gotten much better. Mine is still the worst of all time.
I still remember my desktop computer just sounding like it was going
to overheat.
Yeah.
Overheating.
Every time. It didn't matter. And it was basically whenever you brought up Justin Hunter, like, I got angry, my computer got fired up. Like, fuck that guy. No, but that was a very, very good podcast, and I hope we can bring it back in some sort of capacity in the future.
Let's get it going.
Oh, well.
The thing is, I hate to say it, I'm not completely off of Justin Hunter. I think
so. Is he out of jail? Like,
what are you talking about? He's on the fucking Steelers, man.
All right, so it's only a matter of time. No, I'd like to get it back together too, but I mean, there's a couple things that happened, obviously, when Phoebe came in and he wanted to do a podcast that was sold. Like, we kind of took a step back, which is fine, but there's a lot of things going on. But you also have the Three Donkeys podcast going right now, which is very good. You, Levitan, and who's the third?
Peter Jennings.
Who's
co-founder of mine at
The dead Peter Jennings, who died of lung cancer, the newscaster.
He died?
He's been dead, dude.
What?
I'm going to say like 20 years. The ABC News broadcast? Dude, how much money you want to put on that? We get the action going
20
right
years
now.
off. I imagine, I believe you that he's dead, but 20
Yeah,
years,
maybe
no
not
way.
20 years, but he died of lung cancer as a very spry young man. He like went off the air, then he was dead. It was one of those
I was
things.
gonna say, could you imagine having like a name where people Google you and you'll never come up? But I mean, here we are.
I mean,
Like, that's what you have.
you're talking to Adam Smith.
Yeah, that
No
sucks, man.
matter how much Barstool takes off, no matter how like degenerate I become, because that's the only way I could become famous. Adam Smith, that invisible hand fuck, is always gonna
Yeah,
have a
right,
one-up
dude.
on me.
Smitty is famous, man. Every time I hang out with you, we there's girls coming up like, "Oh, are you Smitty?
Okay,
This is Smitty." Oh.
first of all, there are never girls. Never girls. It's always
It's
guys, which is
guys. It's
fine.
guys, but I wanted to,
Oh, you want to
make
give
it
me
seem like,
that the one up to the millions
Oh,
of guys and
there's
zero
girls
girls that are
too.
listening to
There's been
this?
many girls. What are you talking about? Don't be humble.
I'm not being humble. I'm being realistic. I'm being very realistic. But back to reality. When did you first start? You grew up in Allentown, and you went to Muhlenberg College. You grew up in Allentown, right?
Oh yeah, like right near there, yeah.
Yeah. And you went to Muhlenberg College. It was a small D3 college that I almost went and played football and baseball at, because dual athlete. What are you gonna do? How'd you get into it right there? And be honest.
Well, yeah, I was be honest.
Yeah, be honest. Be honest, because if you're not, I'm gonna
Well,
come
I
over the
mean
top of them.
at that time I was just like I didn't want to go to college. I didn't know what else to do. I got a scholarship to go to Muhlenberg, so I went there, and I didn't really like it. And I just was like trying to figure out what to do. I was writing a little bit. I started like a million businesses that were awful. They were like the worst ideas you could ever imagine. Really bad ideas. But one idea that I had was really
Give
good.
me, I need like two or three bad ideas.
Oh God. One was I, did you ever see when you can like buy, no one even knows this, but when you can buy like an acre on the moon or something, you can buy, or like when you can buy a star,
Yeah,
things like that.
somebody did that, and I remember
Oh
blogging about that years
yeah,
ago.
me. I
That
did that. Yeah,
wasn't
I did that.
you.
Well, no, I did that. I was like the biggest competitor to that main guy. And I sold that.
You're such a fucking swindling scumbag. Are you serious?
No, oh, I was I didn't like it though that I was
Just
trying to
blatantly
do that.
ripping people
But
off. You're
no, I
selling
gave them.
spots in heaven.
I felt so bad about selling them the stars that I would send them all the other things. Like I would send them like these like pieces of an asteroid, like for not like just this throw-in, like oh, and they would get like an asteroid, and they would get
Was it actually an asteroid, or was it something you took out of a Cracker Jack box?
Well, I don't know. It could have been an asteroid. I don't know. I found it in
I found it in the
the
fucking yard. Could have
car.
been petrified horse shit. Anybody knows.
Well, that would be also be valuable. But yeah, and then some astronaut food, different things, just like bonus
Cute
stuff.
gimmicks.
So I started that. That was going pretty well for a little while, but then I got out of that.
Yeah, got out of that moon selling racket.
Dude, I didn't know what I was doing back in those days. What else did I do? Oh, I started an online, no one knows this either. I started an online fitness, like a personal training business where I would be like your personal trainer, but not in real life. I would just like do it online, which actually isn't an awful idea. People do that now.
Well, and this was, we're talking 2006, 2005.
2004,
Yeah.
2003, I did that.
Okay,
Yeah.
so that those
That was
are,
this is a long time
yeah.
ago.
So no, but I mean, internet age.
I did that
Barstool
when I was
wasn't even around in 2003, barely. So I mean, that's a pretty unique idea. I wouldn't qualify that as a bad idea, you asshole.
No,
It's
that
a
one
good
wasn't that.
idea. That could have been like worth $1 billion.
Yeah, well, maybe, but that one was okay. But
It's
there was
better than
some.
ripping off people for stars.
Then I
At
was
least you're
doing.
providing a service.
I wasn't. Well, I was ripping them off, I guess. But I actually learned a lot about that, which is that there's no shortcuts. I really did learn this, where I was like, man, like. You can't actually like fake it. You just need to build something that's awesome that people love and it helps them. And like then I started to do that. That is true.
Great, great PCPR, John Bales, right there. Way to learn. Way to learn for Uncle Peter's Cracker Factory.
No, I'm not even joking. This was so, I was like 17, you know. This is like a
I
way
know.
different, you know. I did magic for a while, but
All
I'm
right.
pretty good at. I can do a. I feel like we should stop talking. We'll end this segment and
Well,
move
yeah, I
on,
said
maybe.
two or three bad things. Now get to the thing that I've been waiting on.
I started a fantasy sports competition site that was it was fantasy leagues, but they ended after. This was 2005. 2005. I was 18 or 19. 2004, 2005, and I started a site that you could compete against other people, but it was only 1 week, and you had a salary cap. And then the week was over, and you'd redo it, and there were different types of contests. So
So
it was.
you invented daily fantasy football.
I mean,
You invented
yeah.
daily fantasy football.
But there were some other similar ideas, but not exactly the same. But everyone has like
The
awesome ideas. It's so
format
easy
that it
to.
is today, you were the first one to do it. The format
Yeah.
DraftKings and FanDuel uses, you were the first to do it. Just fucking admit that.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a great thing to admit, of course.
But I've known you for like 5 years, and we're just sitting at a bar shooting the shit about like the upcoming Vegas stuff over the summer. And you explain me this story. I was just like, what? You invented daily fantasy sports? And you're just like, oh, I guess I did. Like, so nonchalantly. First of all, fuck you for being so nonchalant about that. Second of all, the fact that you aren't a billionaire already and owning Uncle Peter's Cracker Factory's dick is very egregious on your part.
Well, that's the whole thing. Like, of course, like I fucked it up. It was like, obviously that's an amazing idea. So if that doesn't succeed, that's just like you're a complete fucking moron.
Yeah.
Like, of course I don't tell people that. I was so bad. I had no idea what to do. I didn't know anything. Like,
I know, it was just a bad business aspect. It was like being offered 1% of DraftKings in like 2011 when it's like a up and coming company and just not wanting to waste 1 hour of your time a week because, you just don't want to do it. That'd be equivalent.
Yeah.
It'd be almost as bad as that as a business decision.
Kind of, but I mainly just wasn't your friend Dave, who you might be referring to, is so it like was already had built something awesome. I just was like not equipped at the time to start a company, so that one got through my fingers, but I mean, everyone has great ideas, so an idea is not really that valuable. It's really hard to actually build a business. That's incredibly hard.
And I was just when you told me that I was very, very flabbergasted by that. But
No one even knows that. We're breaking news. I think maybe like five people know that.
yeah, because it's absolutely it's a flabbergasting thing to say and to actually
We
have on your
gave
resume.
away the first. There was 2 years that I did it. We gave away 30K. Was like we had a GPP more or less that was 30K to first. So that was really big back then, you know. So we had a big check and everything, and I had a mohawk at the time, and so like there's a picture, just like me running the company in this like suit and a mohawk with a guy with a big check. It was so
Yeah,
ridiculous.
you and your fucking hair. It's like I knew you, for like 4 years, and you always had like a shaved head, and all of a sudden you grew this like thick mane. And I'm like, why did you shave your head all that time? Like you got a lettuce that's been that needs like watering. Like it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's so
Yeah, it
thick.
was me. It's like what George Costanza said. It's like using a wheelchair for the fun of it. You didn't need to shave your head. And your exact response was, "What do you want to mean? I got a great skull." Like, what the fuck does that mean?
Well, the thing is that I don't want to, not to brag, but I have a really great skull. It's really hard to have like an amazing shaped skull. Most people's skulls aren't made for shaved heads. They look really awkward. But mine's really round, no bumps. It looks good shaved. What are you gonna do?
That's just outrageous. Like, there's really nothing more to say to that. It's just outrageous. It's outrageous thinking.
You
It's
ever have a
outrageous
shaved head?
confidence. No, I never had a shaved head because I have hair. You are just downplaying like bald people and cancer patients everywhere. Like you're just spitting in their
It wasn't
face.
bald shaved. That wasn't shaved the bone.
It was pretty close. It was shaved enough that I just assumed that you were going bald,
Wow.
which is a worse assumption.
But you could see the line though, Smitty.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. It just says a lot about you as a in your personal decisions, but that's
I
fine.
think that that's actually a huge compliment.
Okay. You take wherever what it's worth. So you ended up going back to Muhlenberg and getting a college degree, correct?
Yeah, but I just tested out of everything and I did it in like 3 weeks, and then because I didn't want to go back to the classes, so I kind of did, but I only ended up doing like I tested out of a bunch of classes in high school, maybe like a year's worth or something like that, and then I went for I don't know, maybe like 18 months, and then I did the rest in like I just did these. I think they're called like CLEP exams or something like that. I did those to get out of it.
I mean, I tested out of the Mensa program too. I was just like way too good for it. Like, just throw that out there. Hey, to any ladies who are listening, like,
Yeah, I think you're a really smart guy. I believe it.
thank you,
I'm not
Jonathan.
kidding.
Okay, end that conversation right there. So after college, you began to write, and you started off, unfortunately, with a Dallas Cowboys blog. Was that your first foray where you analyzed the, what was it called?
It was called Dallas Cowboys Times. That was in
That's right.
college, though. That was like while I was doing the DFS thing. But like, I mean, obviously I had time. Like, it's just a DFS site. There's not much to do with it. So I was doing that. That was like when I was like, I don't know, I guess I was like 20 or something like
Yeah,
that.
but that website, which ended up leading you to write for the New York Times and the Dallas Cowboys actual website, and which got you into writing fantasy football books, that website was the most analytical film breakdown like site I've ever seen.
Yeah,
Ever
that
seen.
site
To
was
this
like that was like
day.
some of the coolest stuff that I've ever done in my life. I
Yeah,
put
like
so much time
you
into it.
went well into the rabbit hole. Well, down the
Yeah.
rabbit hole of
Dude, it
statistics.
was nuts.
Like any possible thing you can think of was on that site when it
If the
came to Dallas
Cowboys,
Cowboys.
like yeah, like every single motion, if Romo said kill before a play, like I tracked all of that in Excel, everything. And then, like, it was worth so much money probably to the team. Like, I probably could have sold it for so much money. It was every single thing that they did that they weren't tracking. And I just, like, send it to all of them. I'm like, hey, you guys should
Yeah.
use this. It'll help you.
You're the unpaid statistician. You were the nerd from Moneyball to Billy Beane, but you just weren't paid.
Yeah, but it wasn't that groundbreaking. I mean, even now, the NFL is such a joke that they could just, like, I won't even get into it. But it wasn't, like, the most amazing sabermetrics that you've ever seen, but it certainly could have helped them for sure.
Well, regardless, it got you into writing, and like I said, it got you to write for the New York Times, to write for the DallasCowboys.com. It also got you to write for a website in which you were technically my employee, correct?
Definitely not. You weren't my employee, you were my
I
colleague. You
was your colleague. I was your colleague, but I was the editor, and you were the
That's
weekend
right.
editor.
You know what's funny? Did you know this? They were hiring me. They're like, we want you to be the lead editor. We're gonna let you know by Friday. I'm like, all right, fine. So this is when, how, what year was this maybe? Like 2009
This had to have been 2000.
or 8?
No, it had to have been like 2012 because I was already writing for Barstool. Okay, quick
No,
backstory.
not 2012.
Yeah, 2011 at least because I started writing for Barstool in May of
2011.
2011. I was writing for Barstool because that's what got me the
Yeah,
job.
yeah, yeah. And
So,
Barstool was small. I knew about it because I followed Barstool for a very long time, but no one knew Barstool back then.
back in my pasta selling days where I was teaching baseball lessons and I was blogging with my old website, Almighty Philly. And just doing whatever I had to do to survive, there would be a lot of like freelance opportunities on Craigslist for different websites. Just come on and blog. We'll give you like, $25 for this piece of content, this thing, whatever. And since I was technically not even part time at Barstool, I was like providing two blogs a day for free. I was able to write for other places like coed.com I was writing for. I was even wrote a couple of things for Pro Bible, like competing sites, and came across one day on Craigslist for this new upstart out of New York called Athlete Status, and just seemed legit. And they're going to put a lot of money into it, which is kind of an oxymoron being on Craigslist. Just didn't know what the fuck we were getting into. But we went through the interview process, and with this guy named Daniel, who's a big PR guy, and he had like a actress with him, like funding it, like a pretty big name. What was her name?
Should we say it? Yeah. I don't want to say it. Yeah, but she was a big actress. Like I've seen her in movies.
Exactly. Yeah. Who was like funding the project? And it was basically Daniel was like her little. I don't know how to be politically correct. It was her little Yorkie. Basically, and she was she was like trying to make him happy by starting this project called Athlete Status.
I think that's right.
And Athlete Status was looking for a full-time editor, quote unquote, to provide, like Barstool used to do 10 like plus blogs a day per writer. They were looking for like 6-7 like gossipy TMZ sports blogs a day, as well as a weekend editor to provide like 3 or 4. And yeah, you know, we both applied for, John Bales and I both applied for the full-time editor job. One came out on top. The other was the weekend bitch boy. I'd like to tell you.
All right, first of all, I wasn't weekend. I was nights.
And nights weekend. And weekend, that's right.
And I thought I was getting the job that you got. And they're like, yeah, we're going to give it to you. We just want to confirm some things. We're going to let you know Friday. And then they didn't let me know all weekend. I'm like, what's going on, Daniel? And next thing I know, you came in late. And scoop me.
Yep.
And there I am taking orders from Smitty. So
yeah. Someone's writing was just better. Like I can't say that right off the bat.
Was it Almighty Philly?
Almighty Philly. I had more of a background in what they were looking for. I had Almighty Philly. I was writing like I had a whole bunch of freelance stuff out there, and I was writing for Barstool at the time. They knew what Barstool was, and they thought it was good. This is gonna go over great, by the way, because Dave knows none of this. No.
Oh yeah, we should edit this. We don't want to
it's whatever. Like, it's fucking who gives a shit at this point. But we actually the first time you and I met was I think it was the NBA draft that Anthony Davis went number one overall. And we were called up to the Gandesford Hotel.
Yeah, whatever.
To a suite up there. In which you and I were going to be interviewing NBA draftees and a whole dickload of like NBA superstars. This is like week one on the job, and we're getting told this. And I did stand up before, and like I never really associated myself with anybody like big time, especially on like a journalistic or comedic aspect of things. And this guy Daniel's saying like, we're gonna have to interview Kobe Bryant, Chris Paul's gonna be there, like Anthony Davis, number one overall pick, is gonna be there, so like be ready, like sit down and like do all this. So I take the train up from Philly. You lived in Brooklyn at the time.
We both
meet there for the first time we ever met, and we were both the most fish out of water fucking people possibly there. I don't know if you remember the scene, but it was all like it was just like a diva factory up there for the people who were there. And not only that, it was nobody famous. It was all like this guy Daniels and this actress's like friends, and they were waiting on people to come up, but nobody came up.
Yeah, no one's coming for hours.
Yes.
They're just sitting there. No one's coming. Then I remember I'm like, we're sitting there, they have like all these snacks and drinks, and you're like, should we start drinking? And I'm like, fuck yeah, let's start drinking. We were trying to be professional. And then I'm like, oh my God, thank God, dude. I've been trying to drink like this whole time. And
this is like 2 o'clock on a Tuesday.
Dude, I was like literally so happy that you asked that. I'm like, fuck yes, I need to drink, my God. And we just started drinking. And then I ended up doing literally nothing the entire day. I just sat there and drank.
Yeah.
And J.R. Smith was the only one who came.
Yep, J.R. Smith on a favor. A favor to Daniel from J.R. Smith's PR guy. J.R. Smith was dragged to this place. And you can tell because he was higher than a fucking space shuttle when he walked right in. He walked right in, sunglasses, shook hands, but like a real limp shake, didn't say a word, went right for the brownies. Like sat down, went right for the brownies. And I'm supposedly doing this interview with J.R. Smith. And like, I'm kind of rattling, I'm sweating a little bit. And her PR, his PR director is coming over to me and kind of like sassing me in the face. He's like, you cannot talk about Rihanna. You cannot talk about his contract. You cannot talk about this. I'm like, okay, man, like, I'm not going to do anything. Like, just let me talk to him for 5 minutes and make sure like I'm put on the appearance that I'm doing something. And we sat down with J.R. Smith. And I actually looked for this interview before online because it has to be hilariously bad to look at. Like, hilarious.
So it's gone?
It's gone. It's gone. I watched it. I remember watching it once when it came out, and it was cringeworthy how bad it was. My face was, like, beet red. I was sweating. I was, like, stuttering. It was...
All I remember from that is they posted the thing as this big interview, Smitty and J.R. Smith, and the guy who produced it spelled athlete wrong in the thing. It said like athlete.
Yeah.
Like,
and it ended up getting it. Ended up getting like 30 views on YouTube. Like 30,
yeah,
no
it was
more.
Just me and you, like, yeah, looking to see if anyone commented.
Exactly. And all I remember like specifics from the interview is J.R. Smith would not take off his sunglasses, and I'm just trying to like shoot the shit with him and not getting anything out of him. And I'm just like, all right, man. Like, let's be real right now. If you weren't an NBA player, what would you be doing right now? He's just like, probably in the NFL. It's like, all right, Jay, all right. Like, if you weren't blessed with God's gifts of being an athlete or being any sort of like supreme famous person, like, what would you do? Like, what would you honestly do? It's like, probably be a movie star. It's like, all right, that's this interview's over. This is done.
The only thing I remember from that, mainly because I had gotten so drunk after no one showed up, was that JR came in. He had like four guys with him, remember?
Oh, yeah. Huge
but like
posse.
You guys went in this back room of the suite and were doing the interview.
Trying
and
to
then
play.
It's just me and his fucking friends sitting there. And I'm like trying to like, dude, like I never even had any job, no interaction with people. I don't know how to act. Obviously, I still don't.
Especially
and
with that
I'm
group.
Like, yeah, JR Smith's friends. And me with my shaved head sitting there in the fucking thing. And I'm like, so what's up, guys? But it was so awkward. But all I remember is J.R. Smith, when he came in, he ate what the brownies, whatever. He ate these Cheetos. And, he, you know, you get the Cheeto dust all over your fingers, all over his fingers. And he just wipes his fingers all over the white couch in the game. Orange streak across the white cat couch. Oh man, that was like,
yeah, that was a scene, man.
That's when I knew we made it.
Yeah, well, I distinctly remember like talking because I knew nothing about you. You knew nothing about me going in, and like we started like shooting the shit for a little bit. And it's like, okay, this guy's all right. It was like, oh, so you're like, well, what are you doing besides, you know, athlete status? I'm like, oh, well, you know, I'm selling pasta. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Well, I said, right.
I don't think you told me about the pasta.
Yeah, it was assumed. And I'm just like, oh, I'm also like, you know, I write for free for Barstool Sports. It's like, oh, I know Barstool. Like, cool. You're like, so what are you going to do with that? And I'm like, I don't know, probably nothing. It's not going to go anywhere. And I'm just like, oh, what are you doing? And you're just like, ah, you know, I'm doing this, a little this, doing a little that. I'm also like working on my first fantasy like football book. I'm just like, oh, well, like, you interested? What are you going to do with that? And you're just like, nah, I don't know. It'll probably go nowhere. And now look. Yeah, now look at this mess. This mess that we have.
I know. That was we were so in our infancy of being writers or whatever the fuck we are.
I don't know. I don't even want to know. I don't want to know.
Yeah, that was such an, and being both from Philly, it was such an interesting that we met there. Yeah, that was
So that crashed.
That
and
was
burned.
Fun.
That crashed.
We
and
didn't
burned.
Get paid too. Yes. We didn't get paid for a while.
Yeah, we didn't get paid. And Bulldog Bales had to go in, almost showing up at people's doorsteps demanding money. But we ended up being good enough in the end. But that was certainly it was a good experience overall. It was interesting, but athlete status was a good experience overall. So after that, you ended up actually starting to write a few fantasy books. And that's when you kind of landed in DraftKings as a DraftKings pro. Are we legally able to talk about that?
Yeah, I think it's over and done with now. Yeah, of course. I worked with DraftKings. I mean, it wasn't like that intricate of a relationship. It was just
No,
like a,
but
like a PokerStars when they had the,
exactly.
same type of thing as in poker.
But so as in poker, like I ventured into online poker with varying degrees of success. By that, I mean I got batshit lucky very early in my career and decided, hey, this is what I'm doing for my life in the next 2 years, was a gradual, slow descent into well beyond a 6 foot grave. You actually started off in fantasy sports, daily fantasy sports, and kind of had an upwards trajectory in which you were able to maintain a level of success. Because fantasy and poker are very, very similar. Very similar, especially with the variance, bankroll management. You seem to have some sort of stability, which led you to become a DraftKings pro.
Yeah, I mean, I stunk when I first started. I was awful. And just like, I mean, I wasn't really playing very much money, but I like knew that I wanted to figure out how to do it. And I thought that I would probably be able to. It made sense to me that like I would be able to figure it out. So I just like, I quit everything that I was doing and just did that. That's all I did.
The
Like,
degenerate, like the
well,
absolute.
wasn't the, no, not degenerate in terms of like, it's not like I was a pro player. I mean, like, writing books, trying to work for sites, doing everything that I could to just be involved with DFS because I love DFS and I love the trajectory of it. I thought that I could make money playing. I knew I could, I wrote the books and then figured that I would like, just be able to like collect all these emails and figure out how to make money later from that. And I was just all in on that. It wasn't like completely like gambling back then. I really wasn't even playing very, very big stakes back then.
But you were still winning. Like, that's more than what people could say.
Yeah, but it
Well,
was like at
at
most.
what point were you actually sustaining yourself and lifestyle with fantasy sports?
It's not even been that long, but it's like DFS isn't that old. So, but never. The answer is never. Like, if I never had any money from playing DFS, I still had a set like made money that I could live on. So it's like a little bit of a weird question because sometimes I made more money from from playing DFS or something. But I don't think it's like a great lifestyle to be a gambler. Like
Oh, you
even if you
think?
think that you have an edge, that edge could go away. And to have to like worry about that all the time, like, man, do I is this variance or are players getting better and I'm not getting better and now, like, I can't make money. I don't want to live like that. Like, that fucking sucks. Like, that just seems awful to me. I don't,
Coming from a
I
person
like.
who has lived like that, it fucking sucks. It is not
Yeah.
good. It is not
I
good at
love
all.
to gamble. And by gamble, I don't mean like go to like, play slots or something. I don't really gamble like that. I mean, like,
Don't be a slut
the
jockey.
poker thing, the DFS, sports betting. I love that stuff and figuring it out and competing against other people and winning money. That's amazing. But it's a lot better when you don't need to worry after you lose that, like, why do you try to make money? I feel like people just try to make money and they don't actually know why they want money. And they're just trying to make money for no reason. But it's like, what is money even going to do for you? It like, you have to have a reason that you want the money. So for me, like, I like to be free to do things I like and travel and do these things. But the money itself doesn't matter. So the people that are just like chasing the money, I feel like will never really be, they'll never really be happy. They'll never be content. And it's just like kind of a shitty way to live if you're just always just trying to make more money.
Well, well said. Well said, Socrates Bales. That was very
Thank you.
philosophical of you. So how and when did this all lead to Fantasy Labs?
So
And
my
please explain what exactly Fantasy Labs is, because that's a lot of questions that I get.
the only way that I know how to describe it is it's your
You're the
one-stop
fucking
shop
owner
for
and creator. Oh, sorry, you're about to tell a
yeah,
joke and I ruined
just,
it.
yep. Joke's over.
Yeah.
Joke's over.
Do one
And
stop shop for all things fantasy sports. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I
Where
got
did
I
that even come from? I just remember Nate screaming it
that's
on the
just
balcony, and I'm
Nate
like,
being
well,
Nate.
that's kind of funny.
That's Nate being Nate, and we'll get into that. We're gonna have Nate in here to talk about our Vegas.
Oh, fuck yeah. Let's get Nate in.
No.
I started Fantasy Labs with Peter Jennings, who is much bigger. Like, Peter was one of the first big players. Peter's been one of, his name is CSU Ram 88 in DFS. People that play DFS probably know him, and he was like the biggest player early. And one of the only players to have sustainable success, where he's still one of the biggest players and just absolutely amazing. And I worked with Peter on a bunch of stuff from like almost when we started DFS. Like, he's really good at the things that I'm that my weaknesses that are like, I don't know, like networking, speaking to people, these types of things. And he's not as good at like day-to-day writing and things that I'm better at. And so it was a really good partnership, and so we wanted to do this, and we started another failed business of mine. The fuck was it called? I forget. We started another DFS site, Smart Roto, something like that. And it was we started it, and then we realized like very quickly it was trash, is never gonna make any money. And the big thing was that we had our developers were in India, which, if you're starting a business, don't do that. Never works.
Yeah, you
And
start the business and then outsource it all to
yeah, you
India.
can't out
Yeah,
like
you cut
unless
off the
it's like
middleman.
some yeah, if you actually want to grow the business, you can't you probably can't have your developers in India. Not that they're not talented, it just doesn't work. And so when we were starting that, someone else from Sports Insights, which is a sports betting company which is involved in the Churning Group acquisition, contacted me because it was the founder who read one of my books, and that site is basically like the Fantasy Labs of sports betting, and that was what we wanted to build, and so we all created that company, Fantasy Labs, together, the guys from Sports Insights, the developers, and me and Peter. So that's really how that started. And I mean, obviously, we didn't think it was going to be like some amazing thing. Like, we didn't think we were going to make all this money and do, it just grew like very rapidly, where we started it as like, oh, this will be fun. Like, I'm
You
playing
started, and we're
DFS.
talking like 10, 11 months ago.
No, it was more than that. It was 2 years ago that we
2 years
started
ago?
Fantasy
Okay.
Lab. Yeah. And then very quickly, we made money, right? It was right before NFL. So it was two years ago. And then it was really successful, and it was like, whoa, what the fuck?
What,
Like people
exactly.
love
How would you describe, like, if you were to give like a two-sentence dissertation of what Fantasy Labs actually is and what it does, how would you put it in the most concise way possible, so that I can answer this
Yeah.
question for how many times it's been fucking answered to me?
Yeah, Fantasy Labs helps DFS players build winning lineup is what it does. And it does that. Well, the main thing is that it allows people to build models really easily and to create like really accurate player ratings that you wouldn't be able to do anywhere else, because you can test everything really easily.
And it works from the most novice player to the most advanced, which is very, very nice. It's very user friendly, and this isn't like a pitch or a promo. Like, a lot of people around the office use it. K Marco uses it. Some guy named Spags used to use it. I don't know where he is. Nate says he wants to use it, but he won't pay for it. I've obviously used it for years.
Nate doesn't have a free account. My God, what are we doing? We're so stingy.
Yeah, it's I'm not paying for that. And what am I gonna do? But it is a great way to aggregate the best possible lineups out there. And to your credit, there's nothing out there like that on the internet, which I think is why Mr. Cuban was one of the first investors, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Mark Cuban invested like maybe 4 months in, something like that. And
And now you're on a first name basis. He's in, you two are text buddies.
My good friend Mark, yeah. Mark's great. I emailed him earlier today. What? He's I
It's literally the first time he told me. He's like, yeah, Mark Cuban. I just texted him. Like, what do you mean you just texted fucking Mark Cuban? What are you talking about, dude? It's like, yeah, he invested like 500 grand or something.
Dude, I'm not trying to overblow. It's not like we're best friends. Like I'm talking to fucking Mark Cuban.
Yeah, I know. But when you hear that organically, like it's pretty slap in the face when you're just talking to some like loser blogger who just was flabbergasted when David Wallace from The Office reached out to you.
Dude, you guys have like all kinds of celebrities in there now.
Well, now, but we're talking 2 years ago. It's a big difference.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you guys were blowing up around that time too. We've had the same trajectory sort of recently. Yeah.
Which is something. So after after the Cuban investment, you guys just continued to grow until what it is, until what it was, until you decided to make quite possibly the best marketing and sponsorship strategy ever assembled in mankind. The amount of exposure Fantasy Labs, the one-stop shop for all things fantasy sports, got from Nate and mine Vegas trip is astronomical. We're talking like millions of dollars worth of
press. Like long-term, because now like there's so many visitors to Barstool and they all know Fantasy Labs, right? So like even if they didn't come on, they weren't gonna like come on to, some people did for, but it was the middle of summer. It's like MLB, people aren't playing daily fantasy baseball out of nowhere, right? Like long term, we have so much, there's so much value in that now. Everyone knows Fantasy Labs, so it was amazing. And you guys were so good. I didn't like,
we'll talk about it. Let me bring the Kingmaker in himself right now. Colby, I'm just gonna grab Nate real quick. So, Nate, welcome to Shooting the Shit with Smitty. Shooting the Shit with Smitty, episode two, volume one, two episodes in 1 year. I think we had Chuck Lambert. Chuck Lambert, what's his name? It's something.
Huge name. Yeah. Memorable episode.
Chuck Wepner.
I remember it well.
Yeah, as you should.
The witty more than you banter. Did.
Chuck Wepner, the original Rocky. That was the first Shooting the Shit with Smitty.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that was 6 months ago. So congrats on being my second interview overall in history.
Well, Jesus, I mean.
You should be honored. Like,
the Jonathan Bales.
Yeah. So, Nate, we did the entire history of Bales' life.
Wow, exhilarating.
Up until he basically made the most wise sponsorship and marketing move ever made in the history of the world. Once it's going to go down in the record books, and you were the one to make that possible. So, thanks for coming on.
Fantasy Labs, your one-stop shop for all things daily fantasy sports. Rest in peace. It's the saddest thing I've ever had to say out loud.
Hey, no, not rest in peace. It still exists. Fantasy Labs is still here, baby.
I thought it's like Action App now, though.
No. This
Please
is
tell
important
me.
To clear up.
Yes, it is.
Fantasy Labs still good. You can still use it. All of the, everything. Everything
Nate,
is still
Nate created you.
Labs.
He can end you in one fucking podcast.
Well, I didn't create Bales, but I definitely put Fantasy Labs on the map. Before me, it was just like a mom and pop shop, and then I came around and we built it into like Amazon. Like I'm the reason Fantasy Labs got sold to my good friend Uncle Peter.
Mm-hmm. Yep, solely Nate. That's it.
Without me, Bales is still living in his mother's basement.
That's probably accurate, yes.
Yes.
So the way that came out, a little peek behind the curtain, you and I were, Bales, you and I were talking about just sending me over just straight up play in the World Series of Poker. And I'm just like, all right, fuck yes, like we'll do that. And then my good friend Nate here, whether he knows it or not, I introduced the idea of having some sort of competition on Barstool Game Time, to where we start playing poker and try to get the crowd involved a little bit. And we did a lot of test episodes, whether you know it or not, and they did very, very well. Still amongst our highest rated Twitch programs possible.
They don't call me the Kingmaker for nothing.
Yeah, well, Francis was on there too, and Tex, yeah, and Tex was actually the highest rated. But, and we settled on, correct me if I'm wrong, Nate and I playing for one $10,000 seat live, 2 out of 3 online, sponsored by FantasyLabs.com. And the winner,
one-stop shop for all things daily fantasy sports.
Yes, and the winner got a seat in Vegas. Is that how it basically went down?
Yeah, we played 2 out of 3 sit and goes on a unidentified poker site, and then
this is for fucking Bales to answer. that was directly his question.
I know. Come on.
No,
go
I
with
like,
the joke.
Go ahead, Nate.
Oh, no, answer the question. I was joking. I was making a LOL.
No, I know. It's very hilarious.
Thank you.
Yeah, as always.
No, that's
Correct.
you summed it up. That's it.
Yeah.
No, and then
I
we
whooped
had
Smitty's ass.
That you
yeah.
did. That you did. You won 2 out of 3
Smitty had a
games.
sick. Can you? I don't. I think we talked about this in Vegas. I'm not sure what you said, Nate. Was Smitty's fo he folded something ridiculous. Was that a good fold or a bad fold?
I think he folded aces to like a stone bluff.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what happened.
No. But he had you had something that you folded like I don't know trips or something to better trip. You folded something that was like you were actually right,
I don't know.
but I don't
Something
know that's good.
we played best of five. Nate outplayed me one game. Nate outplayed me 2 games. I outplayed him 2 games, and the last one came to a coin flip. And what are you gonna
Yawn.
do? Nate wins
Yawn.
coin flips. He's a king
Yawn.
maker. He comes up kings.
Hey, Nate, how many games did you outplay him?
4 out of the 5.
Yeah, sure.
4 out of the 5.
Okay.
I played bad in one. I can hand up. I can admit that I played bad in one. But you know what? All good poker players like myself can admit that they played bad, and all we do is improve and get better, and that's what I did.
Did you play bad when you had the chip lead in the World Series of fucking poker
I
after day
did.
one, and then didn't even cash?
So out in Vegas, I had all the chips in the world. I was swimming in them. I couldn't even keep count of how many I had, and then I got like 1 hour of sleep a night because I was just working so hard, and then I kind of fucked up and played poorly and then didn't make the money, and it was sad.
I will admit that was exhausting out there trying to play and then go out and do interviews and then do all
It was
that happy
hard.
boy shit,
Yeah,
trying
I
to
don't
keep
know
a
how you
smile,
guys did
trying to keep
that.
a smile on Bales's face the entire time.
All I was trying to do was make Bales money.
Yeah.
That's all I was trying to do. I didn't even care about myself. I was just trying to get Fantasy
Well,
Labs
thank
one-stop
you.
shop, like on the map. Like, and I think I succeeded. Now look at him. He's sitting pretty.
Well, here I am.
Yeah.
Now my company's acquired. You don't have any equity in it,
It's
and
crazy that I don't.
life is good. No, there was I don't know how you guys did that. It was like very exhausting. I don't know how you were able to play because you guys people
I
are so
fucked up,
exhausted
man.
playing. You guys are doing like
Yeah, you did.
like
Yeah, you
I
did.
mean I just like all I could have like taken a nap
You
and
could
like
have sat out
yeah
all day two and came back
you were
day
way
three
better
in
off just not
pretty
playing.
shape.
I mean, I had so many chips. I was trying to push everybody around the table, but I wasn't completely focused, and I was just like I just played poorly, and it cost me in the end. It cost me some
You
cold hard
know,
cash.
there's two ways to look at that. One is that the way that you played that lost you chips is what got you the chip lead,
Right.
which is true.
But I
But I
didn't
think
change. I
that what
didn't.
happened is that maybe you overlooked. So I was trying to explain to you, but you were in the zone.
Yeah,
Is that you were playing to just win and make money in the tournament, but there was so much brand equity and long-term value for Fantasy Labs and for you to just stay in the tournament another day because you would have gotten more exposure and all these other things that was worth like a lot. Because even your equity at that time, it's a 10K buy-in. Your equity was like 30K or something. It wasn't outrageous, you know? Like it was maybe more than 30K, but it was never like $1 million.
Yeah,
Like everyone was acting
you got
like.
$1 billion worth of exposure, pretty much.
Right.
And solely because he fell ass backwards on the dick of quads over a full house 3 hands in.
Dude, you guys both did a great job. You played well too, Smitty.
Yeah, I had like 95K going into day two and then
Oh.
folded for about 20 hours straight. Just got nothing, Nate. Got
Yeah.
nothing.
I mean, if I would have just like calmed down, changed pace, like just like kind of chilled for a bit, gotten a good night's sleep, and came back on day four, like I'm
Why
pretty
didn't you
sure.
sleep well before that? You were just like nervous, or what happened? Because
I
we
mean,
didn't
we
go
were.
out before you guys needed
I
to
didn't
play.
sleep. I didn't
I
sleep
mean,
well
yeah,
that
we got
either.
one good night's
Yeah.
sleep, but we were still up at like 5 in the morning, like just because we were still on
Yeah.
East Coast time, and then
Yeah.
like fucking blogged because like,
Yeah.
you know, it was just.
And it was so fucking hot.
So yeah, it was just like,
Oh, I love the heat there.
it was a dope ass
Swimming.
experience though. Like, definitely learned a lot, like how to play the main event, and like just shit like that, poker wise. Hopefully, Fantasy Labs can run it back next year, you
Yeah,
know.
well, here's the real question.
Course, let's do
Yeah, is that a guarantee? Can we put that in writing right now?
Well, I gotta tell you, it's your ad team. I don't know what they're gonna, you know, but
What about Uncle Johnny Bales? Drunk Uncle Johnny. On his
Oh, will I
personal
just
dime.
personally stake you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't
I
know.
don't.
I don't know
I,
how that bank account reads now, but I think
if
it's
you
too
guys are
long to
allowed,
read.
If you guys are allowed to do that with Barstool,
probably not.
Mid seven figures.
I just don't think that you're allowed to do that, but you're not going to be able to. Like, I'm not just going to fucking stake you.
Well, I mean, you could just under the table do something. And
I know, but you can't wear like a. I don't know. Can you wear a Fantasy Lab shirt?
Well,
and
I can.
Not,
I can I wear. I can wear an Uncle Peter's Cracker Factory shirt. We're all on the same team now.
Yeah, maybe we'll see. Yeah. I don't know. I guess we'll talk to Mike and the guys.
Your buddy Mike and the guys. Mike, Pete, the boys.
Yeah, we'll all go out for a couple. Maybe Nate and I will be invited to dinner next time when everyone's in town. Oh, be part of the rich crew.
I'll just sit next to
Marco and Big Cat and KFC can go out with and eat $1,000 dinners.
Did you know when Chernin pitched pitched us the first time, we were in the office. We were down on the floor. Is it below you or above you?
Second floor.
Yeah. So that was fun. You guys were at a kickball tournament or something.
No, softball, probably.
Softball. Whatever.
How many examples of what we did in Vegas were used like during the whole acquisition phase? Like,
well, Nate,
I'm just curious if I was directly involved in this or not. Just so I know how much equity
I'm owed.
We
were talking about the deal when we were in Vegas.
Were
you
we?
Know this.
Hard to say.
Yeah, the deal. It was like a month or two before that. You know that they didn't even know that I set this up.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, no one knew that.
No.
So, nope.
I'm obviously joking.
Did it help? Probably not.
Oh.
Yes.
I was really fishing for a compliment. I was really just trying.
Of course it did.
I was fishing.
You guys did such a good job. And when I went right to. I had to leave early. I stayed in Vegas another day because I couldn't leave. I was so depressed that I had
to
leave.
Yeah,
I went to San Fran, and that was to meet the Chernin guys. And of course, we talked about it. They were like really happy with it, and it was awesome. I mean, it was all over the place. So it was great.
Yeah. So we'll send you our forwarding addresses, and you send what you think is fair.
So, if you just want to invoice us.
Oh, I can do that. Yeah,
I can definitely do that. So, what's the next step? Is Fantasy Lab still going to have an office in Philly? Are you guys staying there, or are you guys?
We've never had the office is like.
Well, I thought it was like a WeWork or whatever. One of those.
Oh yeah, me
places.
And Levitan. Me and Levitan work in a WeWork together. We just got that. You know what's sick? This is kind of embarrassing. We got it on August 1st, and I've been there 4 times since then. But
yeah, are you a Silicon Valley guy now?
No.
No, this guy is a bum still. He is like mentally, he is like aesthetically rich, but mentally a bum. This guy is a millionaire, and you'll still ride fucking Greyhound buses. He's riding a Greyhound bus in New York.
I just booked one up to New York.
That's embarrassing.
I love the Greyhound.
That's disgusting.
It is disgusting. You love the Greyhound just to be able to look down at the little people.
That's
the only reason.
True. I love the character of the bus.
That's so gross.
You have the guy jerking off underneath the station seat.
That's so gross, dude.
I don't notice those things. the Chinatown stop is right near. In all seriousness, it's not any faster for me to take the train because of the commute to 30th Street and then where the train goes in New York and where I stay versus Port Authority.
Bales.
I'm not worried about the time. It's a Greyhound
it's
bus.
The finer things of life.
Yeah, come on.
Especially the Chinatown bus. I took the Chinatown.
No. It's in China. You know what I'm talking about. The Greyhound that's in. I don't take the Chinatown bus.
You might as well take the Sugar House Express.
Yeah, no.
It's the same thing.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. All right, we can't.
Oh.
No,
ooh,
no.
Juicy.
No, it's not juicy. But
juicy.
It's something. So what is the next step? Like, are you guys relocating? Are you personally staying in Philly?
I don't know. The company, the guys, we're remote. So I'm me and Levitan are the only ones in Philly, and we just work together because we're friends and stuff. But the company will stay remote, sort of. The larger company will. A lot of the guys already are in San Francisco. So part of it will be in San Francisco. And then we hired Chad Millman. You guys know him. He's from ESPN. And he's going to be like the head of media. And he's going to be in New York.
Ooh.
And then we'll probably build we will be getting an office very shortly and building out a team content and presumably the CEO who's yet to be hired. will be in New York. So
just move to New York.
Chances of you being that CEO.
Just move to New York, dude.
I'm not going to be. I'm not a CEO.
You're a pawn. You're a pawn. You're not a king. You're not a king like the Kingmaker. You're a pawn.
I think you could be a CEO.
I think Nate was on the list.
Am I on the short list?
Actually,
CEO?
That would be great if you applied, like, to be a CEO.
Let's be realistic.
No, I mean, you know, apply it as a job. Like,
I'm going to temper my...
Yeah, I meant for a blog.
Smitty, this is an athlete status. It's not on Craigslist.
That's right. I remember one time I applied for a blog to be a D3 head baseball coach, and by the end of it, it was just like an actual resume to be a D3 baseball coach. There was nothing funny about it. I did it for a blog, and I just sent it in. Just the fucking send it in. Did not get it. Hmm. All right, fucking Cabrini. Like, where's your program at now, you pieces of shit?
Cabrini, yeah.
Bales, I do think you should move to New York.
Well, I mean, I'm so close. I can
yeah, but it's not. It's not New York. Philly is definitely not New York.
Yeah, Philly's a so fine great, city. Fine. Oh, yeah. It's the Paris of America. Exactly.
Does anyone else in that office besides you like Philly?
No.
We got a lot of business people in Philly. Lewis is a Philly guy. He grew up in Roxborough. John Kelly is a Philly guy. Even Pete, Tech Pete.
Ugh.
Like, there's a lot of good people around. Baron, you're...
You know I'm a Philly fan. Philly's the most underrated city in the country.
Thank you. Thank you.
When you're at the very bottom, like, you have to be the most underrated. Nowhere to go but up.
It's not like Detroit here, buddy. We're doing all right.
All right, I'll give you that.
All right, and that should wrap up this episode of Shooting the Smit Shit with...
Shooting
whatever.
The Smitty.
Yeah, you don't need to pronounce it right when it only happens once a year. So you can guarantee... Nate and I's entry fee into the World Series of Poker main event.
Thank you, Bales.
For July of 2018. Look forward to
if
that.
If you're allowed to wear the shirt, I'll stake you both in it.
You know what? Borgata Winter Open's coming up. A little December action. That'd be a good one, too. A little warm-up, a little off-season play. You know, just telling you.
I got some other ideas. We'll have some stuff going.
Yeah, and you could also guarantee that if anything happens here in terms of employment for, I don't care about Nate, but for myself, I could be hired on the Fantasy Labs team, preferably as some sort of remote action where I can move back to Philly and prosper. But thank you very much, Bales, for coming.
Wow.
I think he's saying that because he leaked some information earlier that maybe Prez won't like or something.
We'll
I don't know.
I have no idea
what we're talking about.
We'll
now.
See.
God.
We'll see about that.
What did
Bales,
I just look into?
Godspeed. Nate, thanks for joining
Bales,
us.
Bales, you're the best. Yes. Congratulations
we'll
on all your success.
We'll see a lot more of Fantasy Labs on Barstool. And, oh, excuse me, the sports action churning uncle of the Cracker Factory.
That's
Is
right.
Is that what
That's
it's called?
The
Is that the app card? Yeah.
Okay. Send me my fucking check.
.io.
All right. Good stuff.
Later, Gator.
See ya.